It is Monday, and what kind of can of worms can we open this week?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As we begin this brand new week here on this Monday, hard to believe, the 24th day of May. June is almost here, and I don't know where this month went. It just came and went. Got a lot of things on my mind, and it's one of those days where I have so much stuff, there's no way to get to it all. There's so many things on my mind, I can't share it all. But I think some of the things that are troubling me today may be new for some of you, but I think a number of people and some friends I've talked to of late are beginning to agree on some issues. And not the ones you normally think about, the conservative versus leftism and all the things that go with it, the weirdness of the pandemic, we know that. But this theater of politics, just suddenly today, as I'm preparing for the program, I've thought about this before, but something is really getting louder in my mind. We get played, not just by leftists, we get played by both sides of the aisle, and sometimes we don't want to admit that. Sometimes we don't want to admit that those that we believe are looking after our best interest, we find out many of them are not. They're in it for themselves, their own power, their own income, their own whatever, whatever floats their boat, so to speak. If you're like me, and because of the amount of reading that I do, the number of various websites to which I subscribe, both faith-based and politically based sites, and news sites, and medical sites, you get hit by a lot of appeals to support certain things. And all the time, most of it has been from the so-called conservative side, always stops out, we must stop Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer's agenda for America. And then it dawned on me, how many years have they been saying we must stop Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer's vision for America? Well, it's been more than a month. It's more than a year. It's like over a decade. Go back to 2006. 14 years ago, who was Speaker of the House? Who was Minority Leader before that time? The Pelosi-Schumer factor's been around a long time. They're in power, they're out of power, they're in power, they're out of power. And if you're, as they would say, if you play the ponies, as they would say up in New York, around the horse racing tracks, if you're a betting person, you would bet that in 2022, you know, the pendulum shifts again and the House goes down and the Senate might go back to the Republicans. And in the grand scheme of things, what has actually been accomplished? I was thinking, now I want you to stop. And before you yell at your radio or your device, if you're listening as a podcast, I want you to think with me. Let's kind of walk through this systematically. And I'm going to just talk in terms of my lifetime. I can't speak for those years before the, you know, I was born. But just what I can look at and know from my parents directly in the years just before I was born, the life that I've gone through. We have been pawns in a political circus and game board for a long time. And I think even President Dwight Eisenhower saw that coming when, as he left office in January 1961, and John F. Kennedy becomes the president, before he left office, he made this one haunting statement that sticks with me. Beware the military-industrial complex. The military-industrial complex. Now, pause for a moment. What is that military-industrial complex? prior to the 20th century, it really didn't exist. I mean, it just didn't. But when we, World War One, yeah, maybe to a degree, we started building armaments in larger scale, and we had the first little tanks on a battlefield. We had biplanes. We had a few new weapons of war we didn't have, let's say, 30 or 40 years prior to the First World War. But our involvement was not near as deep as what occurred beginning 20 years later, a little over 20 years later, in the Second World War. I listen to a lot of old-time radio because I enjoy it, and sometimes I just can't deal with the news. I can't deal with a lot of the newer music. I can't deal with even some of the Christian music out there that is so thin. It's hard to find the good stuff. So every once in a while, I'll listen to golden age of radio stuff that starts in the 1930s and goes right through the 1940s. And especially the various episodes that are made in 1942, 43, 44, and about half of 45. And they all talk about the war effort. They all talk about your rationing books, your coupon books. Ladies, you won't even exhaust those red points or whatever they would talk about when you buy Crisco instead of butter or what. In other words, America saw a threat, and they were unified, for the most part, in our effort in World War II. Women went to work in factories to make armaments, bullets, and airplanes. You know, Rosie the Riveter. Now, I'm just going to go down a rabbit track for just a few seconds. I think Japan really believed in the 1930s America's resolve to go to war was totally in Japan's favor, that America would not do it. And America had put an oil embargo on them, and they decided, okay, we're going to take them out of the war and see if they have any resolve. Well, they were, unfortunately for the Japanese, there was resolve. You kicked a bear, you know, you stuck a stick in a hornet's nest. And the same with Germany. I think that Hitler believed firmly that the United States would not come and bail out Churchill. And he figured if Japan was to weaken America early on, they would never be a factor. Well, they misplayed that. We understand that from world history now. But one of the things that was created, and, you know, so many things we do in life have unintended consequences. Let's go back to Prohibition. Prior to Prohibition, the idea of highly organized crime was unheard of. Even in Italy, in Sicily, you had, quote, organized crime, but not to the level that would appear because of Prohibition in the United States. Now, I'm not saying I'm for or against anything. I'm just talking in terms of unintended consequences. You suddenly tell a free people you can't have something. We have decided we are going to use the Constitution, and you got the back, you had enough people to pull it off, making enough noise. Well, you created yourself a black market. People are going to do what they want to do. You can't change people by changing the law. Talk about that in a little bit from a theological point of view. You don't change anybody by the law. The law has never changed or redeemed or saved anybody, any law. It doesn't. It's basically an understanding of what we should and should not do. So what happened after Prohibition? Well, you had families trying to, you know, bring booze in across the Great Lakes from foreign countries by airplane. You had speakeasies, bathtub gin. It is said, and I tend to believe it, I've read several articles that go back to the Roaring Twenties during the time of the Prohibition. There were probably more alcoholics per capita than prior to Prohibition. as more people, in defiance to an authoritarian government that thinks they're your mama, well, they gave reason for organized crime to rise, to fill a void. And by the time Prohibition ended, they were so well organized they could get into every other kind of racket known to mankind, and it's still a scourge. You know, we're 100 years later, and it's still a scourge. The unintended consequence of trying to use the law to modify moral behavior. Only acceptance of Christ Jesus really, truly changes somebody's behavior. Fear can be a motivator for certain things, but not everything. But getting back to what I'm saying about the military-industrial complex, so you know the unintended consequence. When the Second World War hit, and now we are fighting a war on two fronts, in the Pacific and in Europe, we are having to muster up troops on a daily basis, trying to output bullets and machinery and aircraft by the thousands upon thousands, building ships for the Navy for transport to Europe. It was quite an undertaking, the likes the United States prior to the Depression, and even any WPA project of Roosevelt or any money that was spent during the 1930s paled in comparison to the monies that were mustered up in 1942, 43, 44, and 45, that almost four-year period of time. The amount of spending our government did, the whole idea of war bonds to raise money, in other words, borrowed money to fight a war, not unheard of in history, but we were borrowing money to fight a war. And at the end of the war, what did you have? You now had these small corporations that became massive corporations. Do you think they all want to go back to being small corporations? Do you think they want to give up the gravy train, the money coming in? It's not a human instinct to say, well, I'm happy the war is over. Let's just shut down our factory and close it up forever and go out of business. That was never the mindset of anybody at the end of World War II. And I sometimes wonder, I've kind of followed a lot of the history of World War II. It's been fascinating to me. And what occurred after the Second World War, where we kind of stopped and let a new enemy rise, both in the Soviet Union and in Asia, in China. It's amazing. When you think of George S. Patton, four-star general, George Star Patton, at the end of World War II, was telling everybody, you know, our real enemy now is going to be these Russians, and we cannot trust them. They're going to be worse than Adolf Hitler. They're going to become repressive and a danger to the world. Let's continue our trek to Moscow and get it over with. But those in Washington, those in, well, the bureaucracy, those in the diplomatic corps, they disagreed with that. No. We'll just divide it up and we'll all live peacefully. And so we ended up spending more money starting in 1946 on the Cold War. And we spent all that money from 1946 to 1950. Then we have Korea. Then we're getting involved in Vietnam. We're involved all over the world. And we have East Germany, West Germany, Poland, and Czechoslovakia, those countries where you had West Germany being, quote, the free, and East Germany and Berlin, you know, was captive. You had a mess. And we had a Cold War that drove our science and our economy all the way to the fall of the Soviet Union. That's a lot of years, like 40 of them. 40 years of a Cold War. The missile crisis, 1962. I can remember it as a kid. Our neighbors building a bomb shelter. In my opinion, that bomb shelter just, you know, prolongs the inevitable. Mutually assured destruction. By the time we hit the 1950s, we had, we had learned all about the hydrogen bomb versus just the atom bomb. So when it comes to things like politics, right and wrong, and political sides, I'm becoming a little bit skeptical, even about some conservatives these days. I really am. Because they use, someone and I had a phone call with a friend. I'm going to probably bring him on later this week for a radio program. And he talks about those people that work in government or work in the news media that after they leave their job, they write a book with a tell-all book. The things they didn't tell you as reporters during an election that could have changed things. It's all a money game for those in power. And I don't care if they are in the media or they're political people themselves. I'm beginning to have a healthy distrust of even many people that call themselves conservatives because they've been there for 20, 30, 40 and more years. And we're still fighting the same wars. We vote the right people in and nothing ever changes. Yeah, we finally get the House and the Senate and the presidency, and what do we do with it? Nothing. You end up with the Paul Ryans. You end up with basically the establishment. It's a game. They're doing this theater of one side against the other to manipulate you in the middle. And I'm pretty well sick and tired of both sides and their money raising and their fear mongering and their nonsense and their garbage. Yeah, there is truth with many of them, but there's a lot of these people. It's organized. It is a machine. And just like the military industrial complex, it has one intention: to self-perpetuate itself. Even this pandemic has proven that to me. There are things that I read and I'll share this week, and I have to kind of vet it the best that I can. You can't get, trust me, in the world today, getting factual information is becoming increasingly difficult. If you, as a friend of mine said on the phone today, you try to do a FOIA request, Freedom of Information request, on something so simple, something so easy, they fight you tooth and nail because they do not want the truth out there at all. Because the truth exposes the frauds that these people are, oftentimes on both sides of the aisle. They don't want people to know the truth. They want you to be, well, I'm not going to explain what it means, but you've probably heard the term mushroom treatment. Yeah, kept in the dark and fed, you know. Those of us, you and I, that live in this, quote, in the middle between the two, in the last 20 years have been more systematically divided one against the other politically, racially, and morally than ever before in history. I'm trying to think when all this super division started. And I just don't remember wondering or caring who my neighbors voted for. It wasn't on my radar screen. When you would go into a store or you go to some venue, nobody was really talking about politics. And honestly, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, even during the time of the Vietnam War, politics were nowhere near as divisive as they've become today. I mean, I'm saying that in all honesty. I am being as honest, as brutally honest as I can be. We had less political anger against each other, or rancor, than we do today. I worked as a radio announcer back in the day, and I don't remember politics driving any of my on-air conversations in playing records and talking about the world around us. And, you know, we talked about the weather. We talked about upcoming events. We talked about this, that, and the other. But, man, we avoided politics because, you know, it was like, it really wasn't that important to most of us. Unless the economy was bad, Jimmy Carter learned that in 1980. Unless you do something stupid, Nixon learned that by trying to cover up Watergate. People are happy to let things be somewhat status quo. Oh, yeah, I vote Democrat or I vote Republican because my mommy and my daddy did or this, that, and the other. In other words, it wasn't the primary aspect of our lives. I can remember growing up, we go to our grandparents' house for dinner quite often and had an uncle and others that were there. And it was so rare that anybody ever talked about politics. It wasn't the number one thing on anybody's agenda. Today, because of social media and the media itself, politics has become too much of an influence on our lives, where it should have one of the least influences on our life. People are more obsessed about their politics than they are about their salvation and their relationship with Jesus Christ. I do this radio program, and yeah, I point out the things that you need to understand in the world around you as I try to bring you into seeing behind, you know, you remember from the movie The Wizard of Oz. You remember this great line.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
And that's exactly what's happening. There's a man behind the curtain controlling what you see and hear in the media and in social media, so to speak. And so many people are falling for it. They are falling for the nonsense. They're living in fear. Let's put it this way. A lot of people are so afraid of dying, they stop living over the past year. If you don't believe it, think about that again. So many people are so afraid of dying, they stopped living last year. There's a man behind the curtain, and he's fooled a lot of people. In fact, I believe they've managed now to fool a majority of the people in the United States, in Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, Western Europe, and many other parts of the world. The man behind the curtain has put on such a great and fiery show that people tremble to this new man that they see, this image of Oz, so to speak. And I'm going to come out and say it. You're beginning to learn how to worship the image of the beast when you pay attention. And this same beast, this same spirit of Antichrist, is clever enough to know how to use both the left and the right to fight their battles, to divide us consistently, and make us weaker. And the church stands along to the side for the most part and doesn't notice or falls for the fear or just falls into one of the camps, one side or the other, without thinking it through. In other words, blind allegiance to a man-made ideology. I didn't expect to talk about this kind of stuff starting the week today, and it's kind of been on my mind, and I got a lot of things like this that we need to talk about. I don't want to just beat this one to death, but I just want to kind of finish up this segment of the program. Understand that you as an individual, when it comes to corporations and even political parties, you are nothing more than a commodity. You're nothing more than a customer. And a customer pays money for goods or services. if we ever had unity in the United States politically, then a lot of these organizations out there that make their mega millions of dollars a year keeping us divided would have no reason to exist. So we are perpetually divided. But you're going to say, well, Bob, you know, we know leftism. We know all of that is pretty well evil and satanic. Yeah, it is. I get it. But how do we ever get so many people in this country to fall for this nonsense? That was allowed to happen over the years by allowing those kind of forces to get in to begin with. And when did that happen? When the church militant became the church wimpy. And we stopped teaching biblical truth. And we could be swayed by any wind of doctrine or anything that sounded good that came along. We went from being people to sheeple.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Hey, listen, before we go to the break, a couple of quick things I forgot to mention that I need to mention. Number one, I'll talk in just a couple of minutes about the free-to-air satellite project that's coming along. Got a few little updates to share. A potential launch date is actually in view. Not sure, but we hopefully will know this week. And I want to thank so many of you that communicate with the program, have shared letters, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things you share with me in the next half hour. And a couple of other thoughts along the way. For those of you that support the radio program financially to keep it on shortwave, I can't even begin to thank you enough. You mean the world to me. And I never expected, I really wondered back 10 months ago, would this program survive 90 days? Well, it did, then 90 more days. And here we are, another 90 days. We'll be celebrating 1 year as we get into the summer before fall. Hard to believe. And I want to thank you, like I say, for those that write, and even those that can financially support. All gifts, large and small, are being used to just keep this program going and growing and being on radio. That's the purpose. I'm not here like one of those multi-million dollar commentators that has a corporation behind them and has everybody believing. And I'm not trying to be too critical. Kind of bear with me on this. But we've created a cottage industry of very wealthy people telling you how to fear wealthy people. It's an amazing game, and how they pulled it off, I will never know. This program is here just to share truth. I'm told in the Great Commission to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to share truth. And if I can stop you from being deceived, and if I can lead you toward the author of truth, then I've done my job. If you believe in this work, consider helping us out. Our mailing address in Georgia, we'll be here a few more weeks, is 21 Berkshire, Berkshire, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263 in Sky Valley. Two words, Sky Valley, Georgia. Zip code is 30537. And we will be back right after this break.
Truth to Ponder.
The Cracker Jack Prize coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, when I was a kid, I used to eat Cracker Jacks. And the thing about Cracker Jacks is you didn't just get food, you got a prize. Inside every box of Cracker Jacks, usually at the bottom, wrapped in plastic, was a special prize. Well, there's a crucial difference between our faith and every other faith, ideology, or religion in the world. And it's all linked to Cracker Jacks. You see, every other faith, religion, or ideology consists pretty much of a teaching or a way to live or standards or supposed secrets of enlightenment. You basically try to follow the teachings and practices of that religion. That's it. But the gospel is different as Cracker Jacks is from cotton candy. You see, the gospel is not just a teaching or doctrine or religion, it's a prize, or rather it contains a prize, the greatest prize ever given, the gift of God. It's not just words about what's true, it's the actual giving and receiving of the truth itself, the reality of the presence of God. So if you're just hearing teachings about the Lord, you're missing it. See, too many believers are running around trying to live the Jesus life without the gift of Jesus, without his actual supernatural presence living it in them. What it amounts to is holding a box of Cracker Jacks, but you're not reaching in to receive the prize. For God so loved the world that he gave the greatest of gifts. But that giving isn't complete by teaching or doctrine or religion or even by going to church and Bible studies. They're all good, but the giving is made complete by receiving. So listen, stop living on the outside of the box. It's time to get your prize. It's time you reach in to the joy and the blessings of the gift. Reach into your faith deep down, my friend. It's as simple as pulling a prize out of a Cracker Jack box. Now imagine being plugged into a special line lets you in on future events, the news behind the news, biblical prophecy, updates on Israel, what you need to know as an end-time believer, and teachings and strength for every day of your week, and the incredible mystery of the temple doors, all free. It's your prize. How do you get all this? Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. It's all you do. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be so blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to join me to reach the unreached peoples of the world in the most incredible way, from Moscow to Madagascar, even to Jerusalem. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1, and you'll be part. YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, The Nice Jewish Boy, at Box 1111 in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy. It's Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. Zip is 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Ro'eh HaTov, the good and great shepherd.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of our Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Got something I want to share that's right here in front of me from a listener. Came in an email this morning, and I've been debating before starting the program today. Was I going to read this or not? Should I read it? And I think that I will share part of what this particular listener had to say. On a personal note, just a couple of things. I was gone this past weekend. You know you're getting old when you start attending a lot of high school graduations. And we're not talking about for your kids. It's for the next generation thereafter. And so I had the privilege of spending some time away and attending a high school graduation. And you realize, where do the years go? Where does the time go? And how are we using the time that God has given us? I'm looking at this young girl now. Hard to believe it wasn't that long ago she was a newborn baby, and I can remember those days quite well. And suddenly driving a car and graduating high school, going on to college, has a wonderful boyfriend that has got a tremendous amount of incentive and smarts going for him. He graduated high school already owning his own business. Been doing it for 2 years. There is some hope out there with some young people that in spite of the increasingly demonic public school system, there's still some outpost that haven't gone all woke. I'm not going to say the name of the high school or the city because you never know who's listening and trying to figure out, do we need to attack this high school? Do we need to, send the Praetorian Guard out? I was looking at the number of high school graduates, and I'm looking at the faculty list and where they all went to school. And I was amazed about one thing, something you don't see much. I don't see it in many places that I've been in the last several years. But in this particular town, and I will just say it was in South Carolina, I'm looking at the credentials or where these teachers went to college or university. Amazingly, almost half of the faculty of this public high school, now listen carefully, over half of the faculty of this public high school went to distinctive Christian colleges and universities, some very fundamental, some very faith-based and believing. And maybe that's why there are some students coming out of this particular school that have a head on their shoulder and the ability to think for themselves. They're not being simply indoctrinated, which is what the goal of those that have been trying to take over education, particularly at the federal level, have been trying to achieve for many decades. So sometimes you find a glimmer of hope. I know a lot of people get on radio and television, and they're selling you the fear and the hopelessness. And in spite of all the things that go wrong, there is hope to be found. And that's part of the purpose of this radio program. Like I said, I had an email from a listener. I'm not going to say where. I'm going to just read bits and pieces. It's a lengthy email, and nothing wrong with that. And it says, you know, they apologized in advance. I've had a few of those kind of emails that I've written. And this person says, since finding your broadcast several weeks ago, they've been actually going through the archives and listening to the weekday program. And what this individual says, it's comforting to hear someone else say what I'm thinking, and I can see there is something worldwide that is extremely wrong. This individual writes, there are so many times that I find myself shouting in agreement with something you say. I have played the episode from April the 12th with the prophecy and the pastor kicking the police out of the church over and over. The prophecy blows my mind, and I want to shake that pastor's hand. The purpose of this program is to share truth and information and hope. It's real easy for me to sell a program. If I was trying to, quote, make a living, it's easy selling fear. It's easy selling hopelessness, believe it or not. I don't understand why, but people thrive on it. This person talks about then the fear of the virus, how it's been brainwashed into us. And this listener really gets it. I want you to think. Listen to what this particular listener has to say. The only explanation they can find for everybody in many families and groups just, you know, having to have we've got to have the vaccine. We've got to take the vaccine. It's the only hope we've got is the vaccine, the vaccine. The only explanation that this individual could find is the brainwashing going on right now. Now, listen to the way this person cites it. By the media, coupled with a deliberate attempt to confuse, terrify, intimidate, and beat down the people. Let me read that again. Coupled with a deliberate attempt to confuse, terrify, intimidate, and beat down the people. Hey, make any kind of a posting about COVID-19 or a vaccine on Facebook, they immediately are jumping in with their come to our resource center. Don't you know that those vaccines are safe, effective, and tested? They don't bother telling you the whole truth. Facebook has become fascist book, in my opinion. So let me get back to what this individual writes. So when you have this, you know, between the propaganda and the 24/7 fear-mongering from TV, newspapers, radios, online news, and as they say, Facebook or fascist book, Twitter, billboards, announcements in stores, signs everywhere. And I didn't even think about it. Signs everywhere, ads online, even electronic traffic signs over the highways. I saw that when we were leaving, coming up one of the highways, you know, COVID-19 vaccines save lives. We don't know that, but they're telling you that. Once a person becomes brainwashed, it's really hard. This is what this individual writes, and I thoroughly agree. It becomes exceptionally hard to clear that programming. In other words, once you are brainwashed, it's exceptionally hard to clear away that programming. They must first be aware that they've been brainwashed. Then they must make a conscious effort to deprogram themselves. I really fear that those who have been so heavily brainwashed may not be reachable anymore. You want to know something? I think we have some of that even in my own family. There are a few out there, not many, but there are a few, that have fallen into this. They've drank the Kool-Aid. and they are believing that the only thing that saves us is the vaccine. They're the type that think, I remember my wife's daughter came down with COVID-19 last year. And this one relative almost wrote, like, so when is she expected to die? This is how brainwashed people have become. Here's somebody in their 30s, in really good health, came down with COVID-19. And this is back last year in a state, a blue state, I might add, where any kind of known workable treatment was being forbidden by state dictators, by state, you know, Obermeisters, whatever you want to call them, dictators. You can't treat with this. You can't treat with that. These non-doctor politicians that don't care if you live or die. They only care about their power. And that power is never going to save them in the end, let me tell you. But she got through it without any intervention of any kind. And now we've learned over the year that a lot of well-known basic drugs work wonders with COVID-19. And we now know factually that 85% of the people that ended up in the ICU would never have been in the ICU had they been properly treated when the first symptoms showed up. But no, this political disease that was supposed to kill 3 million plus people before July of last year, didn't happen, by the way. We did everything we did starting last year in March based upon a prediction of multiplied millions dead in the United States before July. That never happened. We didn't even hit 10% of that number. And of that number, it's clear that 70% didn't die of COVID after all, or more. And many that were hospitalized, had they been properly treated, we would never have needed to do any of this stuff. We, in essence, denied treatment to push this venom called a vaccine on people, and I don't trust it. It's not that I distrust what the president was doing at the time. I distrust the forces behind it all. You know, Dr. Fauci, or fraud, whatever you call him. And so we have people right now, they're afraid to go to church and receive Jesus and the sacraments because of, you know, Jesus might be infected with the virus. Oh, I got to wear gloves and a face mask to be around it. Let me put it, and this individual writes again, I want to just get back to the email. If the virus was a true threat, there would be no need to have a fear-mongering going on because it would be obvious that it's a problem. There would be bodies in the streets and morgues would be overflowing. The hospitals would not even be open for regular business, but they are now. And she mentions, as I've said, the numbers just don't add up. You're right. The harder you dig in, the numbers, the math, just it's fuzzy math. It's hard not to conclude there's a lot of lying going on with what this individual calls a scamdemic. And I agree. I still wonder about Event 201 in October. You can look it up. This is not some conspiracy theory, weird stuff from an obscure website. This occurred in New York City. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in cooperation with governments and also John Hopkins University, did a complete dry run, so to speak, of how the world would deal with a coronavirus infection. And now we're learning, by November, some of the staff at the Wuhan lab were being treated for COVID-19?
COVID-19!
COVID-19!
In all honesty, I think it was about a year ago, May, no later than June, but in May, on what was then known as your weekend show, that I proffered the idea from information that I had seen in my work in emergency management, that there was a distinct possibility that this particular virus, the coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 or SARS-CoV-2, was, shall we say, either lab originated or lab enhanced. And I shared with you a year ago that there had been a prior mini pandemic, so to speak, on a virus virtually identical to this one. Happened in 2003 and 2004. And you could find online back then, and I read to you from the CDC website and other websites a year ago, that they had discovered that hydroxychloroquine was a wonderful way to treat this particular SARS-CoV, we'll call it SARS-CoV-1, not SARS-CoV-2. And that came out in 2005, all this research that last year suddenly, that'll kill you. That's bad. We got to wait for a vaccine, wear a mask, and stay locked down forever and go out of business. Be depressed, be controlled. You remember last year? And I'm saying this stuff. I can remember I said it on my weekend show, and I actually had a, shall we say, had an email, and you could tell the person had just made up the email address, so I couldn't get back to them. You could tell it was just made up for the purpose. Telling me, and used some very powerful language, that I was full of you-know-what and didn't know what I was talking about, that this virus strictly came from the wild. What kind of a nut job, weirdo program are you? It came from one of those shortwave listening groups, you know, the world of idiots or experts or armchair quarterbacks, telling me that, you know, I'm getting into conspiracy theories. This is a year ago. How dare you mention something as stupid as this came out of a lab and there was money from the U.S. and this virus had been played with in the United States. And I'm saying all this stuff last year, and I took some heavy criticism for it a year ago. And suddenly now, even Dr. Fauci is saying, you know, this may have come out of a lab in Wuhan. Last year, to say something like that, when the evidence was already mounting. But see, it's the fascist books, and this is why I'm looking at what this listener wrote about the propaganda beatdown we're going through. Facebook, every time you just mention the word COVID-19.
COVID-19!
COVID-19!
At that point, Facebook, Twitter, all of the social media giants, Google, YouTube, they're all over it, tearing you down, changing the narrative, putting up a warning, deleting your post if it doesn't agree with their phony and false and incorrect narrative. They have bought a line that only a vaccine can save you. Yet I'm seeing enough stories out there where vaccines are killing people, and we don't know the long-term effect. Somebody was ready, and somebody sold us a bill of goods. And it really worries me. We were told a mask is worthless, then it's patriotic, and then your mask saves you, mine saves you, and yours saves me, or something. And then, well, maybe it might save you, too. And I noticed even yesterday, I went to a graduation the other day. And I'm noticing where I'm at, it's a pretty open state now. There were still a few people wearing a face mask outdoors. And you look at them and you realize they're not caring about protecting you. They're falsely believing this mask is going to be a magic mask and protect me. The listener writes, I'm going to get back to this email here. And I'm not going to get through it all today. I may share more of this tomorrow. I don't know how to thank this listener. In all my years of doing broadcast, I've never had, until this email this morning, one of the nicest complimentary emails or letters in my life, in all my years. Listener writes, all this fear-mongering is coming with a heavy price. People simply cannot make intelligent and rational decisions when they're terrified, exhausted, and confused all the time. Look, my wife will say, can we turn the news off? I'm tired of being beaten up. And she knows the truth, but it's like the more you spout the truth, the harder they come to fight you. This, like, I don't know what to have, like an army at the door, you know, beating it down. They're like wild men. They're like, they got fire in their eyes. It's kind of like, I don't know, the TV show The Walking Dead, you know, trying to beat your door down. And this person has not had network television on since like last year. Don't blame them. I watch virtually no NBC, ABC, or CBS, or CNN, or MSNBC for one reason. They've lied so many times on so many things, especially in politics. Why would I start believing them now? Once a liar, always a liar. Unless there's repentance, and I don't see that coming from anybody at CNN, MSNBC. They're political operatives. They believe they're part of the informed elite. And then the propaganda on the vaccine. And then there's a lot more. And I want to share some of, I'm going to do some research. I'm aware of pretty much everything said here that this listener points out. And I want to thank this particular listener for taking the time to express this lengthy email. And there's so much material in this that I do want to share with you. And in the email coming up in a little bit, there's a little line about being prepared for how do we communicate in the future. If you are embedded in social media day in and day out without the ability to clearly be rational, it will affect you. It will distort your thinking. It will make you question certain things. Propaganda is a very powerful tool. So is the Stockholm Syndrome, where the kidnapped victim becomes all of a sudden on the side of the kidnappers. Brainwashing is very powerful and leads to psychological damage. And that's what we're seeing in our schools. You know, I talk about these, I'm not going to air it now, but I've aired it before, this school board member wearing a face mask, barely able to breathe, on the verge of passing out, getting angry that everybody's got to wear a stupid stinking mask forever or we're all going to die. The little kids are going to kill us. This is insanity. Children do not kill their parents with the coronavirus. It never has happened. It is total and absolute insanity. It's lunacy. It's satanic. Personally, I see wearing a face mask the work of sick minds and the masking of children satanic. That's my opinion. Forcing children to wear a face mask in school is literally shaming and satanic. It's making them obliging to anything, turning them into victims. The same with elderly and the infirmed. The cruel masking of anybody who comes in to visit an Alzheimer's patient. Think about that. That patient's already confused enough, and now they got to see this masked person walking in. That's got to be terrifying. This is insane. We are living in a world of satanic insanity in the way we've treated this virus. And there are those that are just rubbing their hands, smiling and drooling. We've got them where we want them. I need to do some research on a story. Why are we having so many deaths in India when there's so many vaccinations out there? Is there a connection? I'm thinking the vaccine is part of the problem. Because their numbers climbed incredibly fast when they hit several hundred million doses of the vaccine, fully vaccinated people. There's something wrong. And they'll try to cover up those numbers. I'm telling you, we've been through something I've never believed before, and this divides us more than politics. Those that have no faith in God, this is all they've got in their life. Don't take it from me with that virus, so put your mask on. Or you're going to kill me and my children and my family and my grandmother, my employer. And they're willing to take something in their arm that we have no clue of the long-term effects. That's why I'm hesitant. We can sit and debate all the other theories around it. I don't even need any of those. Just the fact that it's untested, unproven. It was failing animal trials. I mean, this is enough for me to say, you know, I don't want to be your guinea pig. And I don't want the stinking government forcing me to have some kind of vaccine pass so I can go to the grocery store. This is satanic. A government that does that is of Satan and will be destroyed as Satan will be destroyed by an almighty God. We're coming down to the wire, my friends. And programs like this will be kicked off the internet. That's why I'm using things like shortwave radio and free-to-air satellite. The tech tyrants don't have their fingers on that stuff because they don't think it's important. I do. Hopefully by the first week in June, we may have an audio channel on the air on the Glory Star satellite system. If it all comes together, I'll post information on this program. And for those that can get it from the website, I'll have it there as well. And a lot of what I want to do with that network is not just play this radio program. I hope to get a couple of other programs like-minded that have no real platform. They're not loved by the so-called right-wing giants or religious giants, but they have a very good voice to share. And I want to work with them, not to make us big and monstrous and super big. I don't need to be a superstar. Don't want to be. Doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I just want to be a faithful servant. And even play music that goes back in time. Songs like this that meant a lot in my early years in my walk with Christ. Do you remember this one? Pick this program up tomorrow and pick up on these same themes. There's so much on my mind that I want to just kind of clear up in the first 2 days of the week. If you believe in the work we're doing here at Truth to Ponder, take the time to drop me an email. You can just send it to bob@truth2ponder.com. bob@truth2ponder.com. Mailing address in Georgia, 21 Berkshire, Berkshire, 21 Berkshire, number 263. We are located in Sky Valley. Two words, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. That's 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.